Hebrews chapter 11, please, good, this evening, and then into another chapter of Exodus. Again, it's the same verses as last night, but looking at different ones. Hebrews chapter 11, and if you could read from verse 23, please. Hebrews 11 and 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are seen to do, were drowned. And back, please, to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. We'll read the first 14 verses. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, they shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, and sent me unto you. Now, may the Lord indeed bless those verses to us this evening. I would just like to see some things, as I say, first of all, from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Just from about verse 24 down, it says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, and we saw that how important a time that was, he was now come to maturity, and he could understand things now that he couldn't understand before. When he was come to years. And then we've got this word here in verse 24, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I've been thinking a bit about that, this refusal. No one asked him publicly to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he was known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But you see, by faith, he refused to be called that. And that takes me back a bit to a favourite chapter of mine in Daniel. It's the first chapter. Daniel chapter 1, and it's verse 8. And it said that when Daniel and his three compatriots were taken down into Babylon, and they were going to be given the food and the things to drink that everyone else was given, and that food and that drink had been offered to idols previously, there's a word used of Daniel that I think about quite a lot. It says this. It says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not contaminate himself. Defile himself is the word used in the Authorized Version. He would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now most people would think, most people I think would agree who, that Daniel at that time would be, can't be too definite, but I think he'd be around the age of 17. It's not as if he was particularly old, he'd be around 17. But what I would like us to see tonight is that these decisions that are made, there's one here made by Moses, and there was that one made by Daniel. He purposed in his heart. Now, before that decision was ever made, that expression would tell us a few things, I think. I think it would tell us, first of all, that both of these men, both Moses and Daniel, they had thought about these. This would not be what we might refer to as a spur-of-the-moment decision. There had been some thought going into that. Now, this was no small thing that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was used to all the pomp and pageantry of Egypt. He would also be used to the kind of place where it was. There would be idolatry, of course there would be. And where there is idolatry, there is always immorality. The two go hand in hand. Idolatry and immorality, they're both together usually. And Moses would have been there, he had lived there, he had anything that he asked for, he would get. He was at the pinnacle of power of Egypt in his day. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now I would like us to see a lesson from that. And it's this. There are sometimes situations in life where we find ourselves. Sometimes we are in them before we realise. But in other situations, we know we're going into them. And these situations, whatever they might be, and they could be diverse, and I'm sure the people that are here tonight, we could all perhaps, in some smaller extent perhaps, relate a situation where we found ourselves, and we won't be over specific with it, I don't think, but a situation where we found ourselves where we couldn't go on with it. There may not be many things, and I'm not going to give you any suggestions or ideas what that might be. And before that decision was reached, it would need to be thought about. Now, I have no idea whether Moses, I have an idea from the next two verses, mind you, whether Moses thought of the consequences at all, because the next verse talks about suffering the affliction with the people of God. Moses realised what he was giving up. And you know, I believe Moses realised that what he was giving up was nothing to what he was getting. You see, in the ways of the world, he was giving up everything. In the ways of God, he was giving up nothing. And he was gaining everything. Now, that is very easy to stand here and say that. But in the circumstances, that is completely different. And sometimes in our lives, and it might still be something future in the will of the Lord, or it might be something we're in just now, or it might have been something we have experienced in the past. But sometimes in the presence of God, we have got to make decisions as to what we do. Is it pleasing to God, or is it not? Is it only profitable to me, and that profitable is in inverted commas, is it only profitable to me? And is that profit only temporary? It may not be money, I'm not talking about money. It's just something that we find attractive. But we know when we think about it as Daniel thought, and as Moses thought, we think a bit further on and we say to ourselves, where is this going to lead me? Because, you know, things have got a start, sometimes things have got a habit of starting off quite innocently. And then when we're in them a while, we realise they're not so innocent. And Moses, it says here, he refused. Now we're told it was by faith. All of these things that we learn about Moses here, by faith. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then we've got another choice in the next verse, choosing. The word used here, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now there was one thing Moses knew about suffering affliction with the people of God. He knew he would suffer it, but he knew it was temporary. And the next part of the verse says, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now the pleasures of sin are only for a season. That tells us that's temporary as well. So there are temporary things there. But Moses could see beyond all of that. He could see that the things of God were bigger. They were eternal things. You know, it's good to think about eternal things. The only book, of course, that's got any authority about for eternal things is the Bible. The only book that's got any authority about the future is the Bible. You know, I live in a, well, I don't live in a village, but I go to an assembly of a village in Wylam. It's in Northumberland. It's a wee country place. And there's what they call it in the summer, the Wylam Fair. And it's really a kind of summer fair. And it's no big thing, but it's not a big village, is it? 500 houses are there, about 520 houses, and it's not a huge thing. But so naturally, and we as a company of believers, we take a stand at it, you get a certain size of a bit of grass to do what you want to do, and we give out a literature and we invite people to the meetings, and it's very good because you get a real chance to talk to people. And not this year, we just had it, it was in July. The year before, 2009, while we were setting up, there was another couple of ladies setting up in another stall beside us, just right next to us. And I was intrigued as to what it was, because they had a tent and it was all multicoloured and it was all fancy. And I saw it had a veil down over the front, and I was fascinated. I wanted to know what this was. And And we found that what they were doing was they were palm reading, and they were reading tea cups right next to us. I don't know whether somebody had a sense of humour or not. But right next to us, with the gospel, there was these ladies. And you know, I can tell you, they were busy all day. £6 ago, and there was a few round the tent. From 10 o'clock in the morning until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You see, there's a fascination with the future. And that fascination leads people up all sorts of dark alleys. But you see, when we come to things future, we can be sure, can we not? We can be sure, four square on the word of God of things concerning the future. We're told in plain language things concerning the future. And Moses, who we remember from last night, I hope, that he'd been taught by his mother things. She had been taught things about the past that reflected in the future. And it says here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then the Hebrew writer says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now the treasures in Egypt would be substantial. Substantial treasures in Egypt. But you know, if we'd weighed them in the balances, as Moses weighed them up, Moses must have weighed them up in his mind. Because he chose, you see. But Moses chose, his choice was made by faith. It was by faith Moses chose. His faith was in God. His faith was in the things that he had learned of God previously. It was based on something that he knew. It was by faith that Moses made those decisions. We're also told in verse 27 that he forsook Egypt. It's difficult to know. That wasn't the time when he slew the Egyptian and he ran away. That wasn't by faith. That was because he had murdered somebody and he wanted out of the way. There was nothing by faith about that. And I was thinking about when this forsaking of Egypt was. Because it certainly wasn't then. I would think, and you might not agree with me, but I would think this forsaking of Egypt was in Moses' mind. That was a decision that he made. He made a decision that said, look, I am just not happy. He weighed everything up, and it's always good, you know, to weigh everything up. He thought about it. He was weighing things up. And he was recalling things. And undoubtedly he was praying about things. Oh, his mother would have taught him about prayer already. So would his father. He knew all about prayer. And it says here that by faith he forsook Egypt. That was in his mind. That was what Daniel did. He purposed in his heart. You know, there's another thing about Daniel in that chapter. I know I'm going away again, but I promise I wouldn't away as far as last night. There's something about Daniel, you know, in chapter 1. It says this, that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And you know what it said? You know what it says after that? It says he requested. He requested of the king that may be able to happen. What do I take from that? He made up his mind about something. But you know, to the people who were trying to do that to him, he was extremely mannerly. Daniel had great manners, you know. We live in a day sometimes when I think manners are a thing of the past. Manners. I was on a train going to London a fortnight ago. And I was going to Newcastle, and I was just about, we're coming into Durham. And the train was right busy, you know, full, not a seat. And there was a lady came on, and she was obviously expecting a baby. She was on her own, and she had a suitcase on the train. And of course, as you do when you go on a train, she was looking about for a seat, and there wasn't one. And she was away down at the other side of the, away from the other door. And she stood, and she stood, and I thought to myself, well, I walked down here, you know, for this woman in my seat, there's somebody else going to do it, what's going to happen? So she eventually, before I got off my seat, she started on a suitcase, and she was going to sit there, as I found out my master, she was going to sit there the whole way to London, because the train had only went, that was the last stop, it was Newcastle, Durham, and there you are, you're at King's Cross, that was it. No, that's it, eventually. I went, it wasn't that long. I don't want you to think I put it off, I didn't. I went away to do it, and I said to her, look, would you like to sit in my seat up there? And you know, she burst into tears over the thing. She said, I just didn't know where I was going to make it down there. No, I said, I didn't know where you were going to make it. So I took her back up, sat her down in the seat, and she says to me, do you want to sit in my case? I said, look, I think what I'll do, I said, I'll walk up, I'll go up the train, and I'll find myself a seat. But you see, it's just this thing, Daniel, when he was down there, he was mannerly to people. Just common courtesy. Now, there's common courtesy. And then there's Christian things. That's a way above common courtesy. When Daniel refused, He requested, you just didn't say, look, I'm not having your stuff, take it away, I don't want that, that's been offered to idols, and that's all of that, you take it, I'm not wanting it. Well, there was none of that. He requested, just in passing, common courtesy and manners. Christian things. Through faith, it said. Well, no, just before we get to that, by faith he pursued Peter, verse 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, it's quite easy to kind of run over that. Not fearing the wrath of the king, that was no small thing. But this is all done by faith. Not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured that seeing him who is invisible. In a way that, you know, a way that doesn't make sense, really. But of course it makes sense. He can see by faith that which is invisible. You know, I was thinking about a verse in Hebrews 11 here as well, you know. Verse 3, I've been thinking about verse 3 a lot. We'll go back to it just for a second. You'll pardon me doing that. But verse 3, through faith we understand, this is a wonderful verse. We hear a lot of things about things being put on the side of buses that is probably no broads and all that kind of thing. And I think we give that too much publicity, to be honest. And we're talking about folk that put these things up in roads. And really, I think we're the worst sometimes of this believers for giving it publicity. But look at this verse says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There is no point in me standing up in this pulpit here at the front arguing with an atheist and saying, God created the heavens and the earth. And him saying no he didn't, and me saying yes he did, and him saying no he didn't, and me saying it. The man isn't saved. It's not about brains. It's not about scientific research. It's not about global warming. I'm going to say thanks be to God who created it all. By faith. Through faith we understand that the world's what the world appears. The simplest believer, the newest believer, the youngest believer can take that verse. I wish I had that verse up on my wall at home. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It takes all the arguments away, doesn't it? And of course this is the great chapter of faith, and we're talking about Moses, and we'll get back to him. Through faith he kept the Passover. Now that was the first Passover and also others. That kept is a continuous word there. He kept it once and he kept it after that too. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know, the thing about the Passover, when Moses was told that the people had to put blood along the lintels and the two side posts, there must have been people saved. What difference is that going to make? You know the way people do? It's what God said, you see. He was putting into place what God had said. The lamb is taken, the lamb is kept from the 10th to the 14th day. The blood is kept in a basin and it's applied. And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It says here, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that he should be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. And then we get to the Red Sea. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. That doesn't mean that everybody passed through that. We passed through the Red Sea again. We're talking about Moses here. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. What a day that was. We'll be talking about that. I think it's Wednesday night, going, or Thursday night, God willing. They passed through the Red Sea, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. We're told some lovely things there about Moses, but I just want to say some things from the chapter we read early on there, in chapter 3. Now, we read a few verses there, but I haven't got time to deal with them all, but we'll have a look at some of them. I was thinking about the difference here from his days in Egypt. I was thinking about the solitude of it, first of all. Here he is out in the desert here. It says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And it says he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. It's amazing the people in the Bible, you know, who got their training as shepherds. Looking after the sheep. David. When they were looking for a king, they didn't even bother to bring David. He just took his brothers. They had to be asked, is there any more? And they told him, well, there's a lad, you know. There's a lad, but he's looking after the sheep. When he was looking after the sheep, he was looking after them for a purpose. Because he was learning things when he was looking after these sheep and their safety. And how they get themselves into trouble and can't get back out of it. It was a training ground. David was there. Moses was there. Because when Moses started with the people of God through them, taking them to the promised land, what a time he had with them. They had some training. Isn't it good the way God works? Do you ever think that some of them? And I was going to say trivial things, and that isn't right, but some of the small things we do, for we are in our assembly, or whatever we're doing, there's no trivial things in the assembly, you know what I mean? Things that are not noticed very much, sometimes. And sometimes the things that are not noticed very much are the things that really matter. Don't you think that that's a training ground for other things? That we're not just there. We're not just there. To do that, we're there to do that, certainly we are. But do you ever find that God's got something else for us? And that's a training ground for that. That he's taking us through. You know, here's Moses, he's 1 minute sitting up in the palace, and the next minute, hardly the next minute, you know what I mean, he's down here, and he's about as far out in the desert as he could go. That really makes no sense. See, this is God's training ground. The backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. Now, verse 2 and verse 3 are remarkable verses. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out in the midst of a bush. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm sure in the climate and in the heat and in out in the desert and out in the sand and the dryness and all of that, I'm sure Moses would have seen a bush burning before. But he'd never seen a bush burning like this before. There was something different about this bush. There'd be nothing different about the bush, but there was something different about what was happening to him. It says the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Now, there's lessons in the flame of fire. There's lessons about holiness. There's lessons about righteousness. There's lessons about judgment. There's lessons about a lot of things in the flame of fire. But we're not talking about that just now. Out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And here's the miracle, you see. And the bush was not consumed. It wasn't burning away. You know when you put a fire out in the garden or something, you're burning some sticks or you're doing something, and it's not that long till the whole thing's just lying there. Ashes. Well, that wasn't happening here. And of course, Moses was intrigued by that. Verse 3. He says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burning. You see, initially, Moses wanted to know the reason why the bush wasn't burning away. He was intrigued with that. And then, you see, when the Lord saw, you see, the Lord saw what he was doing. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, see, at this point, Moses didn't realise it was of the Lord, this. He was a bit slow. Sometimes, I can associate with that. He was a bit slow. He didn't fully realise. He was intrigued as to know all the workings of it. Why was this happening? Why was that bush burning and it wasn't burning away? And when the Lord, it says, when the Lord saw it, he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the midst of the bush. Do you often wonder what Moses must have thought when he heard his name twice here? Moses. Of course, I may study to you through the scriptures and see the number of times that the Lord called to people by name twice. Saul the Damascus Road. Saul. Simon. Satan hath desire to have you to sift his wheat. But I have prayed with you. Often think of that with Peter, you know. Simon. Peter says, I'll follow you to death. He meant it, you know. He meant it. But he couldn't have done it. Sometimes you mean things. And of course, the Lord speaks to him before the frog throws. And there's that lovely expression at the end of that chapter as well. It says, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. That's why when you get into Peter's epistles, he talks about remembering the Lord. More often in the second epistle, these things I write unto you, that you may remember. Says that, I think it's four times in the second epistles, chapter 2 and 3, he talks about remembering. He never forgot that day. Anyway, Moses. And he says, here am I. Draw not thy hither, the Lord said. Don't be so worried about what's happening with the bush. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Then he says a lovely thing. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Do you often wonder why it's not, the Bible never says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You may think, well, what's the difference? The Bible always says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we've got it here. It doesn't say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think there's a lovely reason for that. The God of Abraham was personal to Abraham. The God of Isaac was personal to Isaac. The God of Jacob was personal to Jacob. The God of Moses was personal to Moses. point of view now is personal to us. If I can say it reverently, we as individuals have his full attention. That's why it's worth praying, though. It's no small thing to pray. His full attention. There's a verse in the Psalms that says the darkness and the night and the light are both alike to thee. People talk these days about access 24 hours. Access to the Father. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses had his face. He was afraid to look up at God. Just three things and I'm finished. The past, the present, and the future. The Lord says, verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of the people. The past is I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The present is I have surely seen the affliction of the people. And verse 8, I am come down to deliver them. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. This time we'll be right, we'll miss out a few verses and come down a wee bit here. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And then there's this lovely assuring verse here in verse 12. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And then we'll finish off with verse 14 where we stopped our reading. Moses asked the question. Moses said unto God, when I come to the children of Israel, say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they will say unto me, what is his name? And here's his answer. Verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. That's a title. That's a title of Jehovah. The title of the Creator. The one who was. The one who is. And the one who will always be. That is the assurance that Moses got. I am that I am. And he says, you say unto them, I am has sent me unto you. Now in English, that does not sound right at all. We would never speak like that. I am has sent. But it's a title of Jehovah. It's the title of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. It's the title of the God of creation that we've spoken about earlier. And Moses, as much as saying to them, look, that's as much as they need to know. You know, that was as much as they needed to know then. And when we do our work, whatever it might be for the Lord, that's all we need to know. I am has sent me. When we're talking about darkness, the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When we're talking about feeding, he says, I am the bread of life. When we're talking about eternal life, we can say, he can say, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, the I am is there, that's the title. I am the resurrection and the life. That is the same expression that was used to Moses here. The one who spoke to Moses out of the bush is the one that we have to deal with today. Praise his name. The presence of God. Do you ever think about the presence of God? You know when we meet together, I'm finished up, there's a minute to eight. You know when we meet together as companies of believers and assemblies? No, we were sitting quietly, we'll just take the Lord's Supper as an example. We're sitting quietly around and the emblems are there. The cup, the bread,
on the table. So simple, isn't it? Simple. And you know, we come in and we take our seats in the quietness. You know that expression that the Lord, that thing that the Lord said? Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Sometimes, you know, it's easy to lose the dignity of that and the preciousness of that. By faith, you know, we can see that which is unseen. Just like Moses did. I am that I am. Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we give you thanks again tonight for the privilege that we have of just meeting here around the scriptures. And our God and Father, we would thank you again tonight for the quietness and for the opportunity that we have just to meet together here and consider some things. We thank you for faith. We give you thanks that we can meet here and consider eternal things, unseen things, and for the privilege of being able to meet again, we thank you now. And as we hear the children, as we did last night again, we thank you for them. We thank you for the meeting that they've been at, and we trust that the voice of the Lord might have been heard there. We pray for them in their formative years, as we prayed last night too, that they might grow into men and women who will serve God. We give you thanks for this house again, and for the care that we have here, and for the way we're looked after. And we would ask for thy blessing upon us now for the rest of the evening. For we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.